Grab your note sheet. It's fun to laugh about church. There's a lot of misconceptions about church. You know, church is boring or God is super strict. And it causes people to have to think that they have to separate fun and faith. They have to choose between faith and fun. And Rob, welcome to East Lake. We always say this is a church for everyone. And Jesus blew that myth up. When people watched him, they saw that you could be devoted to God and still have fun. He was always hanging out with people. Jesus was always at a barbecue or a party or camping or fishing. He had lots of close friends, not just a normal everyday life, but also a fun life. He showed that I can be happy and holy. I can have fun, and I can have faith. And we're starting this series, The God I Wish We Knew, to try to get to some of the myths about God, and that's one of them. Super, super strict, never wants me to have any fun, he's a killjoy. We're trying to find out the true stuff about God. And look in your notes, the big idea this weekend, God is a life giver, not a life taker. You are the giver of life. Your light lets us enjoy life. So we're going to look at three words today. We're going to look at everything, every day, everlasting. Everything, every day, everlasting. Let's jump in point number one. They all start with an E. Isn't that clever? Okay, so number one, write in everything. In the beginning, circle that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So think about this. Everything has a beginning. Do you remember your very first day at the job that you have right now? How about the very first time you saw your girlfriend? Yeah, yeah, yeah. First kiss? Everything has a first day. I remember the first pass I ever caught, football pass, in the backyard with my grandpa. He threw it to me. I caught the pass, and I remember going, way to go. You know, so everything has a beginning. Everything has a starting place, including life. Life had a starting place. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That means everything God created, including us. Look what it says in the Bible about us. One day, the eternal God scooped the dirt out of the ground, sculpted it into the shape we call human, breathed the breath that gives life into the nostrils of the human, and the human became living, a living soul. Life started with us. Now, there's always been lots of questions about life. There's always been wars. There's always been murder. There's always been... The question about who gets to control life has always been there all through history. And we have lots of stuff on the table, lots of debate today. Like, you know, when does life start? When doesn't? Who gets to say about life? Those questions have always been there. And the point is, do we include God in the conversation? If he invented life, is he... Because a lot of the conversations that go on about life, isn't there a lot of them? Euthanasia, assisted suicide, abortion, you know, genetic, like mind-blowing things today about life. Is God included in the conversation? Is he a part of it or not? Who gets to decide? It's always there's always been these questions. And is God a part of the conversation? That's the first thing. If he's involved in everything, do we include him in the conversation? Because I do think we can pay a price if we leave him out. There's a pretty smart Christian author that wrote a book called The Garment of Life. And listen to what he said. It won't come up. I'll just read it to you. Joseph Bernardin spoke, "The spectrum of life cuts across issues of genetics, abortion, capital punishment, modern warfare, and the care of the terminally ill. When life is considered easily expendable in one area, eventually nothing is held sacred, and all lives are in jeopardy." He's saying life. When I was a kid, my friend and I went down to this river that was kind of by our house, and we were goofing around. And I saw this little duck, this mud hen, on the other side of the river. And like any kid, I mean, I grabbed a rock, and I chucked it across the river. I was a pretty good shot. I hit the duck, one shot, psh, killed it. And, you know, there it is floating over there. And I went over, and I pulled it out of the river, and it's on the bank there. And, you know, I remember looking at it and thinking, and this was the question that was in my mind. I was like, why did I kill that duck? I didn't have an answer. Bothered me for weeks. Why did I do that? Now, before I go any further, I'm not against hunting. I'm not against fishing. I've got tons of friends that do that. And East Lake never tells anybody what to think. But we would challenge and say, think. read the Bible, pray, try to figure it out about some of the issues that are around today. If God is the author of life, can he be included in the conversation about life? If he gave life as a gift. In fact, in your notes, here's the question I want you to think about this first point. What am I doing with my gift? I didn't earn it. It just came to me. God made it. What am I doing with my gift? When I was a kid, I used to like to play golf. I used to like to play golf with this one friend of mine. His name was Tom Quinn. And the reason I like to play golf with Tom is Tom had a temper. He was famous for his temper. And if there's a game that can bring out your temper, it's golf. Tom was so funny. The reason I like to play golf with him, not because he was a great golfer, because he'd always blow his stack. And his language would get particularly colorful, and I'm probably morbid that that's funny to me. But anyways, he would always do something to crack me up. You know, Tom, temper Tom, you know. One time, another friend of ours, Steve, his dad loaned Tom his clubs. So now, you know, Steve's dad gave his clubs to Tom to use. Really nice set of clubs. And we're out playing, and I saw Tom hit this shot. We're all playing together, and his ball rolls over by a tree. I thought, oh, boy, here it comes, you know, and I'm ready for it. And Tom goes over there, and he tries to hit this shot, and it whacks into the tree and kicks back like this. And without a thought, Tom stands back. He has his club in his hand, and he just smashes it into the tree like a baseball bat, you know. And I start laughing. It's like, he hits it again, you know, like this. And I hear my friend Steve yell out, Tom, that's my dad's club. You know, here's the point. Tom didn't give any thought to the gift. He just reacted. And life is a gift. You've been given. 150,000 people will die today. You're probably not going to be one of them. You didn't die yesterday. Life is a gift. How are you using it? Number two, write your notes every day. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose, Jesus, my purpose is to give life in all of its fullness. Years ago, a church sponsored a community youth group. I was in a church, and we sponsored this community youth group. It's pretty cool. We rented a school, a public school, and we invited students and different people to come to this youth group that we did. And a few kids started showing up, and it started to grow. Word started getting around. We built these skate ramps, and we used to put music outside. We had bands come in and barbecues and do these crazy games. We always did a talk. We always did a short talk, talking to the kids about, hey, Jesus is real, and he loves you, and he cares about you. Just a little short talk. And hundreds of kids started coming to this thing. A lot of kids became Christians. It was really, really cool. But every once in a while, a parent would show up. And it was like they found out that this was church-sponsored, because it was just fine. For a long time, they thought, oh, the school's throwing this really cool thing. Then somehow they'd find out a church is sponsoring this. They'd come and find me. I was the leader of it. And they'd come and find me. They always had this kind of look on their face like, you know, everything's changed now. The church is sponsoring this thing. You know, you Christians are, I don't want you Christians messing with my kid's head. You know, and I understand. They were concerned, like some wacko church or something like that. You know, it's like, and they'd come and talk with me, and I'd always think, like, what is it that you think is going to happen so bad? And I'd always be amazed that when you approach somebody with God, or just say the name Jesus, try it today. Go to lunch somewhere, you know, you're up at Chili's, and just mention the name Jesus a little bit louder. It's like, oh, I mean, you could say any other kid, Billy the Kid, people keep eating. You know, Ronald Reagan, they keep eating, you know. Any bad name even, they keep, you say Jesus a little too loud, everybody's like, whoa. Yeah. Why is that? When you say God, when you say Jesus, when you say God wants to be with you, people back up and they're like, that's not going to be a good thing. That's that really strict guy that ruins everybody's life. He's going to take away all my fun. You say the word God to somebody and they don't think to themselves, well, if God's involved, it'll get better. I got this really cool video I want to show you, and it's these people that are colorblind, and they put these glasses on, as you watch the video, be thinking that, what if people had this expression when you brought the idea of God to them? What if they could get that this could happen for them? Check this video out.
I just want to cry a little bit. I never realized, like, how much I was affected by the fact that I can't see the world like the way that other people see the world.
James, what are these? Wait a minute.
What? Whoa! This is awesome! I see clearly.
So it really works?
Yeah!
That is purple.
What?
Your phone looks different?
Like this looks very, like, pretty similar, but this pink, like this.
Look at those shorts, look at the shorts. It's like drugs or something.
Whoa. Is that blue? That's really cool.
Holy crap.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I've never seen that so different. That is amazing.
Wouldn't it be awesome if you said the name of Jesus or God? And my favorite girl is the girl that just goes, that's really cool. Wouldn't that be like if somebody caught that that's what it could be? I definitely can say that now after a lot of years of walking with Jesus. It'll be, 26, 20 years old, so I'll be 36 years. There's Paige if you want to know. So, and I was probably like a lot of people. Like when I thought about God in church, I was kind of backing up. Like, I don't think good things are going to happen. And then I met him. And it was like putting on those glasses. Like the first time I felt forgiven, it was like that video. I was like, what? No way. I mean, I've always felt bad about that. You know, the first time I recognized I wasn't scared. Or to have, like, you can go to someone to get guidance. Look, there's a part of the Bible here. It says, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I mean, I remember the first time I felt overwhelmed. I didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden, it just occurred to me, well, wait a minute. Everything changed for me. It was just like those glasses. I think a lot of people, you know, they're not seeing it that way. They don't realize that that's the life you can have. You know, it just isn't what strikes them, you know. And I understand. You know, because before I gave my life to Jesus, it wasn't like I wanted to be a bad guy. I didn't wake up every morning and say, I'd really like to screw my life up. I mean, I tried to be good. I wanted to be good, which is very, very difficult. You know, it's like even my level of goodness that I was shooting for, I couldn't hit. You know, have you ever had that one? Have you ever had one of those times in life where did you realize that, like, over the last 6 months, you keep lowering the bar for yourself? Have you ever had one of those? You're just like, okay, here's my bar right here. You know, this is it. And then you can't hit it. And you go, oh, this is my new bar. And then you finally try to find, like, the worst person you know. And you go, okay, if I can just be just a little above them, you know, maybe. And so. But, I want to read something to you. This is in the Bible. It says, but when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce the kind of fruit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you would have read me that list before I became new Jesus, I would have said, I'll take all those. I like everything on that list. But I don't know how to do it. I can't get there. I can't sustain that. When I was a kid, my grandfather kept promising me he was going to build me a kite. So I don't know why. You can buy a little cheap kite for like $3 at the store. But anyway, he's going to make me a kite. So I went to his house for the summer. And my grandpa spends all morning in the garage, you know, cutting wood and stretching paper. And he makes this big tail out of sheet pieces, you know. He gets the strings, like, he makes me a kite, you know. It's going to be this big thing, you know. And so he finally calls me in. We're going to go outside, and it's going to be time to fly the kite. And so he teaches me how to do it. He says, get all the string in one hand and get the kite in the other hand. He goes, and leave some slack and throw the kite as high as you can, you know, and then run, you know. So I'm like, all right, Grandpa, you know, I'm a kid. And so I get the string, get it all right. I throw the kite as high as I can. I take off running, you know, and like 5 seconds later, you know, 10 seconds, I hear him yell, stop, stop, stop. And I'm running, and the kite is just bouncing on the street behind me, you know, getting all tore up. It's like, you're ruining it, you know. Come back here, you know. And Now listen, get the string here and everything. Now this time, throw it as high as you can. I mean, I'm just, okay, you know, it must be me. You know, so throw the kite as high as you can. Take off running, you know, 5 seconds later. Wait, stop, you're gonna break it, you know, and he starts to get frustrated. Can't you throw it higher and run a little bit faster? I'm throwing it as high as I can. I'm like, you know, it's just, here's this thing. There was nothing wrong with the kite. And there was nothing wrong with me. There was no wind that day. And doesn't life feel like that sometimes? It's like, wait a minute. It's not me. It's not you. Where do I get the power? Like, to have this list in my life, how does that happen? And that's the message. It happens when you have a relationship with Jesus and you go to him and say, I can't do this list. I want to. Will you help me? Will you be with me? Will you empower me to do it? What's your next step with God? That's the question to think about in this section. What's my next step with God? Maybe you need to step over the line of faith. You're not Christian at all, and you've been thinking about it, coming to East Lake for a while, and maybe it's like, I'm ready. I want to give my life to God. Maybe there's some challenge he has for you, but what's your next step with God? What if God is every day, and maybe it's a step that you've seen many, many times. It keeps coming up. You keep pushing it away. No, but it's not going away. You know, it's your next step. What is it? Number three, right? Everlasting. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. Do I have rock solid assurance about eternity in heaven? Oh, so many different things about heaven. There's this older woman, true story, that got pneumonia. And she got really, really super sick. They had to take her to the hospital. Very touch and go. They call all of her family into the hospital room. She's in bed. And she's coming in and out of consciousness, in and out of consciousness. You know, her whole family's there. And she comes back into consciousness, and everything's really blurry. She can't see who's there. And she had never liked her doctor. In fact, her and her doctor, Dr. Jones was his name, they never got along. They always fought. And she never liked him. He never liked her, you know, crabby old lady. She didn't like her doctor. And her family hears her say this as she comes out of consciousness. She's looking around. It's all blurry everywhere. And they hear her say, Am I in heaven? Well, Dr. Jones comes around because he hears her talking, wants to see what she's like. And the first face she sees is Dr. Jones. And she says in a mean voice, I can't be. There's Dr. Jones. And I understand. She's like a lot of us. She's thinking that you earn your way to heaven. And when you earn your way to heaven, you can judge other people and you never feel certain about yourself. If you're trying to earn your way to heaven, you'll always wonder, is my pile of good stuff big enough to outweigh my pile of bad stuff? How good do I have to be? If you're trying to earn your way to heaven, I was thinking about it this week as I was thinking about heaven. I was thinking, gosh, you know, if right now I died and I had to stand before God, I don't know if you ever, there's lots of movies and stuff like that. You know, when I was a kid, sometimes they would try to scare me. I didn't go to church a lot, but sometimes they try to scare me. Someday you're going to stand before God, you know, and you better be good, you know. And I was always like, take my chances. But I was thinking about it. It's like, if I really had to stand before God now, you know what I'd say? What would I do? Or if God asked the question, do you deserve to come into heaven? Whatever heaven is, I don't know, whatever heaven is. Do you deserve to get to come into heaven? I wouldn't want to answer that question. Would you? I mean, I can imagine me. I was just like, you have to be honest and just say, no. Not if we're earning it. I don't get to go. I don't deserve it. I'm not perfect. But what if in that moment I realized, I'm not perfect, but I did make a choice. And what if in that moment, Jesus is right there? And I realize, what if you could say to God, hey, I'm with him. You know, we're together. Let me simplify heaven for you. Everything you ever heard, everything you thought about, let me simplify it for you. If you're with Jesus now, you'll be with him then. If you're not, you're not. It doesn't. There's not going to be a weighing of your good and your bad. There's not going to be a big life of your movie up on a, you know, big movie screen, and you're going to have to watch it and give account for it. None of that's going to happen. If you're with Jesus right now, you'll be with him in that moment. And he'll take you into heaven. No one's going to get to go on their own merit. But he'll take you and he'll say, I've been with you throughout your life, and I'm going to be with you in this life. Look what the Bible says about heaven. However, it is written, what no eye has ever seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. Lots of talk about heaven in the next life. What is it? I don't know. You think about the best day you've ever had in your life. Maybe you like to fish or your hunt, play golf. So I've had some pretty good days. I got to take my son to see Michael Jordan when he was with the Chicago Bulls, and we had lower bowl seats. That was a cool day. I saw both my children born. I performed both of my sons' weddings with their great wives. I got to stand right there. I mean, that was a good day. I saw my wife, Clarice. I hadn't seen her all day long, and I never saw her in her wedding dress. And the big, you know, moment, the music's going, and everything's great, and they smell good, and everybody's pretty. And here comes my wife around, and she's at the end of the aisle, and I saw her for the first time. It was like a movie. That was a great day. When I was a kid, I got a hole-in-one playing golf. That's a bragging day. And I've had some good days, and so have you have. But none of them are going to match the day when we realize I didn't have to earn it. None of them are going to match that day, man. When we stand there and we realize, wow, I get to go in because you love me. We'll have never seen a day like that. We'll have never experienced, you're on your absolute best day. It's going to be nothing like that day when finally we go, yeah, it is all about you. That's going to be a day. Now here's the question. Do you have rock solid assurance about eternity? Would you be like the lady in the hospital? Or a lot of people, you ask them, are you going to heaven? Like, well, I'm as good as the next guy. Or if he gets in, I guess I get in. Or, you know, or some people are so funny. Hell, heaven, I want to go to hell. That's where all my friends will be. I mean, there's so many people laughing and talking about it and everything. But here's the question. I mean, we're thinking about it today. Do you have rock solid assurance you're going to heaven? And I'd be willing to wager if the answer has anything to do with you, you do not. If your answer is based on you at all, you do not have rock solid assurance. And I'd be willing to tell you, you never will. There's only one way to have rock solid assurance, and that's to say, Jesus, it's on you. I'm with you. If you're going, I'm going. That's rock solid assurance. Now, the bottom line today, and you can write it in your notes, God provides us a better life than we can create on our own. Do you believe it? That's the question. Because you've been given a gift. It's your life. You've been given a gift. It's your life. God made everything. He's with you every day. And you can have everlasting life. There's the invitation. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. That's the invitation. Here it is today as we wrap it up. Find out for yourself. Taste and see. If you were to give everything. Here, Jesus, you're my Savior. That's the invitation. You get to choose. Taste and see. Can God give me a better life? Because he's the life giver, not the life taker.